I want to talk this morning about, on the subject, power in His name. Let me tell you, church, there's power in His name. You talk about great names. You talk about famous names. You hear names being thrown around, household names, names in the financial world, names in the political world. We're in an election year, presidential election year. All kind of names of politicians being thrown around, trying to get your vote. But I want to talk about today the greatest man with the greatest name, and that name and that man is Jesus. There is power in His name. There are other great names in the world, but nothing like the name of Jesus. And I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about what that name can do for you. Isaiah said His name shall be called Wonderful. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." A son, and his name is Jesus. Tommy was right. There's nobody else that's worthy of our worship except Jesus. No man, no organization, no denomination, nobody is worthy of our worship except Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, getting back to that name a little bit, but in our world, God is popular. Everybody wants to talk about God. You can talk about God all day long and get an audience. But if you dare to bring up the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, folks will turn away. You see, everybody wants to talk about God. Everybody wants to talk about God the Father. But nobody wants to talk about Jesus. But I'm here today to tell you that there's power in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need today, there's power in His name. And I want to look at some things that happen with that name. First of all, I want to say that prayer is answered in His name. Jesus said in John 14:14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That sounds like a pretty big statement to me. Jesus literally wrote a blank check there, signed His name to the bottom, and said, "Fill in the amount. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, either He meant it or He didn't. Our problem is we don't understand it, and therefore we don't get a hold of it. There's a lot of things I don't understand about God. There's a lot of things I don't understand about Jesus. But I do know a direct statement when I read it. And Jesus said, "If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then He said in John 16:23, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you." Whatsoever, that's a big word. That's a pretty broad word. That covers basically everything that you need. What do you need today? Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He shall give it to you." When you go to God the Father and you mention the name of Jesus, I believe He literally gives you all His attention. I believe His attention is instantly drawn your need as soon as you mention the name of Jesus. Prayer is answered in his name. I don't know about you, but I've been praying for years about some issues. And I've made up my mind, in Jesus' name, I'm going to get it. In Jesus' name, I'm going to have it because of what he said right here. And then I want to say that miracles are done in his name. Acts chapter 4, verses 30 and 31 says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Signs and wonders. How many of you want signs and wonders to follow your life? How many of you want signs and wonders to be what you're known for? When I go somewhere, I want people to say, here come signs and wonders. A lot of things can follow you. The great thing that needs to follow you are signs and wonders. Everywhere you go, you ought to be stirring up the devil's territory. Everything you do and say, you ought to be a sign and a wonder. And let me tell you, the world needs signs and wonders today. If you search the Bible, you'll see that constantly, Old and New Testament alike, the thing that drew people to God were signs and wonders. A lot of preachers say, well, we shouldn't seek for signs, shouldn't go after wonders. No, but they should be following us. Everything you do as a child of God should be accompanied by signs and by wonders. Did you know that we serve a miracle-working God? There's nothing too hard for him. I'm convinced that we haven't gotten a hold of the real power of God yet. I've been preaching for 39 years, but I'm still on elementary school level. I've not graduated to where I should be, and neither have you. We need to realize the kind of God that we serve in Jesus. We need to realize the things that are possible through his name. The great apostle Paul cast out the devil out of a homeless, or out of a fortune teller rather. And he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the devil came out that same hour. Do you have what it takes to turn to a demon-possessed person and say, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out, and that demon obey you? If you're where you ought to be with God, you do. Because you see, it's not by our might, and it's not by our power that it's going to get done anyhow. It's in the name of Jesus. That's how it happens. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 17, in my name shall they cast out devils. I believe Satan must lose his hold in Jesus' name. Satan's been in our face for too long. You know where he's supposed to be? He's supposed to be under your feet. Satan's been accusing you for too long. You know where he's supposed to be? Under your feet. Defeated. We're supposed to be victorious, not victims. We're supposed to be overcomers, not overcome by the devil. We're supposed to be winners in Christ. In my name, they shall cast out devils. And did you know that we're also saved through his name? Acts 4:12, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name given where you can be saved. Good works won't save you. If they could, the whole world would be saved. Right now, we're seeing several tragedies across the globe. And the call is going out for help. And we should help. But helping in tragedy won't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha won't either. Confucius. The God of Mormonism. None of these gods or prophets can save you. It says right here that there's none of the name given among men whereby we must be saved. I know it upsets folks when you say it. And I don't hear it said being said that often anymore. But I'm going to say it this morning because it's true. And that is, if you don't go to heaven in Jesus' name, you won't go. I'm amazed to hear some folks preached into heaven and they never claimed the name of Christ right up to the time they died. There was no mention of Jesus. But there's this commonly held concept that everybody's going to heaven. You know, most people believe nobody will be in hell except Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Judas Iscariot. Let me tell you something. They're not the only characters in hell. Now, I think probably they're there. But they're not the only ones that are there. The Bible says if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can't go to heaven. I know that doesn't smack of political correctness. I know that causes problems. But it's still true. It's still true, and we need to stand and declare it and let the chips fall where they may. Folks need to find Jesus. And if they don't find Jesus, they can't go to heaven. There's only one door. There's only one way, and it's a narrow way. And the way is Jesus. And the door is Jesus. The gate to heaven is named Jesus. You can't go if you don't know him. You know, I wish it weren't that way. I wish it were the way that most people believe. There'd be a whole lot fewer lost people. If I'd wrote the book, if I'd made the plan, I'd have probably said, well, let's make several alternatives here. But you know, I didn't write the book, and I didn't make the plan. All I can do is tell you what the book says. And the book says, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Luke 24:47 and Acts 10:43 tell us that we can receive remission of sins through his name. Think about that. The old song says, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. I once was on my way to hell, but today I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I'm good. I'm not particularly good. Not because I'm so righteous, but because of what he did on Calvary. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you don't go by Jesus, you don't go. And then the Bible says that at his name, every knee is going to bow. Isaiah 45, verse 23, says that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear or confess. Let me tell you something. That includes God deniers. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Atheists, congressmen and senators, Supreme Court justices, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. There's a day coming when God's going to turn the tables. And every man, great and small, high and low, rich and poor, the person on the street with holes in his shoes, all the way up to the Bill Gates of this world, multi-billionaires, every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. Next time you get feeling like we're losing this thing, just remember that. The last chapter is yet to be lived out. When it's all said and done, we win. When it's all said and done, we win. Doesn't matter how the score looks right now, because we're still playing the game. But when the score, when the thing is settled and it's down to quitting time, we win. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Romans 4, 11 and 12 says it again. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Think about that. One of these days, every one of us are going to give account of ourselves to God. Remember that. My wife and I were talking on the way to church this morning, how that, I'll be honest with you, I get distressed. Every Sunday I sit there in that chair, with rare exception, and I look out on this congregation and I say, where is everybody? Why isn't so-and-so here? Why isn't so-and-so here? It's upsetting. It's distressing. Because you see, I know the day in which we're quickly approaching. We're quickly approaching, if we're not already there, a day when little Christian games won't work. I had a man tell me just this week, we go to Houston every Sunday for our service. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Joel's our pastor. We go to Houston, Texas, every Sunday and get fed. Joel's great, and I love him too. What's happening in Lakeland, Florida is great, and I'm watching it too. But let me tell you something. You need more than that. We're coming to a dangerous day. In fact, we're already there. We're coming to a day and a time and an age and a place where you better have some Christian connections. And the place you'll make those is right here in church. You better have some Christian connections. 2 years ago when I went in the hospital and they cut my chest apart, spread my rib cage, and put that valve in my heart, I was glad I wasn't going to Houston every Sunday for church. Because Joel wasn't coming. Not that he's not a good man, but Joel's got 30,000 of his own to deal with. He ain't coming to visit you. Anybody really believe that if you land in the hospital and it looks like you're not going to make it, Joel's coming? Benny's coming? Oral's coming? It's just not happening. Not because they're not good men, but we got to be locked into a church. We got to be connected with a local body of believers in these last days. At his name, every knee shall bow. There's one more thing I want to say about his name, and that is we are healed in his name. Simon Peter said to the lame man in Acts 3 and 6, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." We're healed in his name. I'll tell you the truth, I have some physical issues, and I'm asking God for a healing. I'm asking God to heal my body. You need to do the same thing. We put up with some stuff about long enough. I preached a sermon a few years ago here about Popeye. Some of you remember that. Oh, Popeye, I used to love Popeye when I was a kid. I still like to watch him every now and then. Popeye would get to the end of the rope, and he wouldn't know what to do. And Brutus was about to kill him, and Olive Oil was tied up, couldn't help him. And old Popeye would say, "That's all I can stand, I can't stand no more." And out would come the spinach. We need to say to the devil, "That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. I'm not going to take it anymore. In Jesus' name, I'm coming out of this. In Jesus' name, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered." Did you know this church is 6 years old today? Amen. Six years ago today, the date is even the same. May the 18th. It's May the 18th. 6 years ago today, to the date and the day, 6 years ago we gathered in Farzan Lori's living room kitchen and birthed this church. But I'll tell you the truth, I'm tired. That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. I can't take it, this 50 and 60 stuff. Church, we gotta grow. We gotta reach out. We gotta advance for the kingdom of God. It's not God's will for this church 6 years after we started. Of course, I know churches that 50 years after they started, they're in the 50s. But we're not going to judge ourselves by that standard. But I say in the name of Jesus that we're not going to stay where we're at. That's all we can stand. We can't stand no more. We're coming out. We're going up. Whatever it takes. Start telling people about your church. they may not be getting what they need where they're going, if they're going anywhere at all. A lot of them don't go anywhere at all. If they don't go anywhere, they certainly ought to be invited here. But if they're going somewhere and they're drying up and dying, give them a chance. Tell them where you go. Tell them what God's doing in your church. I tell you what, we could fill this church up to overflowing with just family members. I'm talking about extended family. With just family members that are in this area. Some don't go anywhere. Some are in churches that they are just there because I don't know why they're there. Some are going to Houston every Sunday. Some don't go anywhere. Some are at the Bed Springs Church this morning. They rolled over and didn't even try to wake up. God needs to get a hold of folks, and you need to be an instrument in His hands to help Him do it. How many of you want to be? In His name, you can have what you need. Stop living beneath your privileges. Begin to be all that God wants you to be. Rise up and be a man or a woman of God, and He'll bless you as never before. Why don't we stand?